The Lord bless you, dear heart dwellers. May the Lord find a sweet presence when he lingers with us, and may our eyes be only on him and not the passing vanities of the world. Amen. Dear heart dwellers, I've missed the Lord for 2 days because of the necessities entailed in moving rooms around, as well as being present to the special needs of the helpers around me. And I've been aware of not only the lack of interaction with the Lord, but also my terseness with others. And in recognizing that, I felt the Lord was not really pleased with how I handled certain stress-filled moments. I've been longing to be with him and apologize, as well as repenting. I already had apologized to them, so today I made that the priority. After communion service, I didn't hear him begin speaking to me, so I reminded him of what he said. I want to speak to my bride every day. And Jesus began, I am here. I have accepted your repentance. And I know you want me with all your little heart, Claire. And I'm stationed here by your side and in your heart forever to accomplish just that. I'm not giving up on you ever. That I promise you. Each day I wait for you to turn away temptations that are bad for you. Yeah, like the lilac oil. Some days you do and some days you don't. We're working towards constancy. By that I mean turning away temptations every time, maintaining your proper place before me and the souls of the kingdom is the very thing that protects you. It is when you look down on people that I must pull my protection back, ever so slightly, so that you may be sifted by your weaknesses and the enemy's devices. Claire, my love, he looked at me with tender eyes. You were doing so much better, so very much better. You just have a little ways to go. Don't give up, my love. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Press in. I show you others who have truly reached the other side in denying themselves and loving me more than themselves, so that you will press in. All things are possible for the humble soul who has passed through the gates of humiliations and into the courts of joy. I know the longing of your heart is to bring me happiness, and you were right to keep your focus on what I've asked from you and not what you see the others who are great saints to see what they did. What made them great was their unflagging obedience and single-minded focus. The single-minded soul turns their attention away from anything having to do with their own desires or wishes. They look only into my eyes to know what my good pleasure is, and then they do it without complaint or looking back. You don't look back as much as you look to the side when something you fancy is dangled in front of you like a worm on a hook. And you do complain and get short with others when you're tired. When you are well rested, you are more careful and less combative. Part of that, a very large part of that, is not at all your intention. It's just the way of someone who's run out of energy, patience, and is very fatigued with responsibilities. So what I am saying is that that can be avoided if you take proper care of yourself. However, when circumstances begin to overwhelm you, I need you to pass through those tests of charity as well. Can you do this for me? Can you just stop in mid-track, recognize your impatience and frustration with others who are demanding more of you than you have to give, and call on me to make up the difference? You have done this several times during this move. What you are missing is that I immediately hear you and make changes to help you regain your inner peace. You are failing to recognize my intervention, and you also are failing to realize that when I don't intervene, you are being tested so you can pass on to the next course. Tests are always hard, They have to be in order to prove that you've learned what is most important to me. Layer upon layer, my dear one. Lessons come in layers, and I always prepare you in advance. You don't always realize when you're being tested. You forget and lose your patience. Just say to me, "Oh, this must be a test. Okay, I'll lay down my quills and press in." And then commit yourself to doing just that. Oh, it will go so much smoother for you, beloved. Moving always entails many tests of patience and is the ideal time to exhibit what you've learned, not just on the outside, but on the inside too. Because I look into the heart to see what you're feeling and how you're dealing with these contradictions. So often you see things as injuries. They're not injuries. They are opportunities to exercise your great love for me by kindness and patience with others. You really do well most of the time, but I need you to do very well all the time. You're dealing with the destiny of souls here. Understand, I have sent them to you to bring them more deeply into me. So if you demonstrate my nature to them in adverse circumstances, they will love you and love me all the more. If you demonstrate your frustration and displeasure, you injure them and set them back further away from me. So you see, this is not a little thing. This is a critical thing. Soon you will become so in tune with my heart for them that the temptation will not even assail you to be impatient. You will only feel patience inside, and there will be no more struggle. That's where we're headed. I'm sorry, Lord. He continued, I know you are. That's why I'm restoring that grace to you. But please, keep your eyes on me and my desires for you, and ignore that grubby worm the enemy dangles before your face. Just think of it this way. All things of the world are truly grubby worms. They break, fall apart, get dirty and beaten up. The only thing that stays fresh and wonderful is our relationship and the love we share, which gets deeper and deeper every day you don't look to the side to gain some personal advantage. My brides, those with a single eye are those who enter into my glory. And when he said that, I was reminded of a video I watched of Jesse Duplantis last night. He was talking about people arriving in heaven in tram-like vehicles. Some came with just gowns on. They immediately went to the trees growing alongside the river of life and began eating the fruit from the trees as they waited to be healed inside and could come before the throne of God. They were all lined up to finally reach the throne of God. Others arrived with a beautiful gown and a cloak over it. These overgarments had beautiful embroidery on them. They did not have to get in line with the trees by the river. They immediately flew straight to the throne of God. This was because they had made the most of their lives and not wasted any potential. Rather, they had fully given themselves over to God, living for Him and not themselves. They had no need of healing. I thought to myself, I need to get busy. I see shadows inside of me, times when I take my eyes off of the Lord for some personal advantage. I was especially thinking of a little vial of lilac oil I got to replace a gift someone had given me when I ran out. It is a heavenly fragrance I love to wear, which is unusual for me. I don't normally pay much attention to those things. I also remember getting upset when I was very hungry and Ezekiel shared half of a barbecue sandwich, a very special barbecue sandwich that our son had brought, with a helper, which meant I would get less. I'm not good about sharing my favorite foods. I have even resorted to hiding them and eating them secretly on occasion. Of course, it was no secret to the Lord, who is the only one that really matters. Anyway, getting back to what Jesus had just said, my brides, those with a single eye are those who enter into my glory. To the single-eyed soul, there is nothing outside of me worthy of their attention. They spurn all outer things, not because they are evil, not everything beautiful is evil, but because they want more from life than those transitory created things can give them. Those creations are so limited, and when you come to their limits, you seek the deeper things. And I was reminded of Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve mammon and God. The Lord continued, how much better for you to seek those deeper things without having to go through that process of being lured away from me time and time again. You see, when you truly walk in the knowledge of who you are, standing naked before me, I protect you from distractions, and you cease looking to the left or right. But when you lose track of who you are, truly are, before me, I have to remind you of your frailties, and I remove that hedge of protection. It's almost like two roads intersecting. When you are firmly convinced of your identity without me, to the point where you treat all men as greater than yourself, out of sincere conviction, not feigned humility, often that intersects with a complete loss of interest in the beauties of the world, which become bland, stale, and worthless to you. Then I don't need to protect you any longer. You will have passed the tests. You are walking in this world as an adult with a single mind, a single agenda, single vision, only to bring glory to me. This is our goal, my beloved bride. Cleave to me and keep your eyes on me at all times, and you will reach this goal quickly.